Today, I want to address something following up with the message that Britt Hancock brought prophetically into this church, and then Pastor Cam followed up with an incredible message right after that. And really, I guess the theme of it would be that God is calling us into a new season. He's calling us to move forward. He's calling us to go and to occupy. He's calling us to go and to pull people out of the fires of hell that hell has planned for them. He's calling us to go and do the works that Jesus did. And he does not want us to stop. He does not want us to be in a position and a place where we are living in fear. So today, I've got a title that the Lord dropped in my heart, and it's this: Humanity's Greatest Thieves. Humanity's Greatest Thieves. What are the greatest thieves that are in this world today? And all that has to do with theft, it has to do with the kingdom of darkness. And I want to address today what I consider the greatest thief of all, and that is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. Every single person will face the spirit of fear in your life, and as we move forward in this life, the spirit of fear will constantly try to attack us. And as the spirit of fear tries to attack us, and especially as the body of Christ, you and I need to know how to deal with it. That's the key. We need to know, what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? What does God say to us concerning the spirit of fear? And let me preface this message also by this. A lot of times when I teach something like this, it never fails that people will think that I'm speaking to them, but I'm speaking to them in kind of an attacking way or a condescending way, or I'm bringing condemnation. I'm not doing that, okay? What I'm doing is I'm teaching. I'm teaching you what is the spirit of fear? How does the spirit, what are the characteristics of the spirit of fear? How does the spirit of fear move in our lives and in our minds? And what does the Bible say that the spirit of fear can do to us if we surrender to the spirit of fear? And what does the Bible say that we are supposed to do when fear attacks? The Bible gives us all of that information. So today, what I am endeavoring to do is I am endeavoring to attack the pandemic that I see that is in the church. And I'm not talking about COVID right now. I'm talking about a spiritual pandemic that I am listening to and I am seeing that is coming out of the church of Jesus Christ, and is the pandemic of fear. The pandemic of fear. So let's jump right into this. I want you to open your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, or whatever it is, to Joshua. Joshua. Joshua, for we shout for God's word. Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8 and 9. This is the Spirit of the living God that is addressing this young man. This young man who is now taken over from Moses. And I'm sure that knowing that he's going to be leading all of these people into what God had already promised, into the land that he said, it belongs to you, I'm giving it to you, it is yours. And he's going to take these people in. I'm sure that his knees at certain times, was having fellowship with one another. I'm sure that he was dealing with fear himself. Because every single one of us, when we step out in faith to do anything, you're going to have to first deal with fear. It's all through the Bible. When the disciples were called in the storm, the first thing that Jesus said is, "Why were you so afraid?" Because they literally thought, "It's lights out, we're going to drown. We're not going to go to the other side," like he said. But when Jesus told them to go to the other side, That means when he spoke it into existence. So therefore, just like when he said to Peter, come, and Peter walked on the water, he actually didn't walk on the water, he walked on the word that Jesus gave him that caused him to be able to walk on top of the water. Amen? So remember, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, chapter verse 3, God upholds all things by the power of his word. So Joshua is getting ready to take the reins. He's getting ready to move forward. And this is a new season for them. The past, they were going to have to put behind them. And they were going to have to focus on where they were going. So here's what the Spirit of God says to Joshua, so that he will be successful in every endeavor and in his leadership. And it's the same thing for every one of us today. No matter how young you are or how old you are, this scripture will cause you to have good success. If you obey it, you do it, will cause you to have good success. And it will call, doesn't mean that you're not going to have to fight the fight of faith. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But in the midst of it all, it will take you where you need to go. This book of the law, which basically means the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. Man, I could stay right there for an hour. But I know some of you, you got to go eat. So, see, I have food that you know not of. So I could stay there, because notice that God started with the mouth. Why did he start with the mouth? Because there is a spiritual principle in the Word of God, and it's in Proverbs 18:21, and it is this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. Actually, the book of James in the third chapter says, your tongue is a rudder that will determine your destiny. Is a rudder that will determine your destiny. So God says, the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Now, the word meditate in the Hebrew is an interesting word, because we think in English that word means this. I'm meditating on this. But in actuality, the word meditate in the Hebrew means to recite constantly. To recite. To speak it out of your mouth. Why did God know that Joshua needed to speak his word out of his mouth constantly? Because another principle in the Bible: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you begin to speak, you have an outer ear and you have an inner ear. And when you begin to speak the word of God, it goes into your inner ear and it affects your whole body. So Jesus said it like this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because some of us need a checkup from the neck up. Finding out what's coming out of our mouth. Amen? So he said, but you shall meditate, you shall recite it day and night, that you may observe. The word observe in the Hebrew means to keep, to retain, and to treasure up in your memory. That's the reason the Bible says in Romans the 12th chapter, verse 2, it says, renew your mind so that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So he said, to that you may observe, that means to keep, retain, treasure up in your memory, to do according to all that is written in it. You can have the Bible, and you can look at everything that's written in it, but until you do it, it will be of no benefit to you whatsoever. You can talk about it, you can discuss it, you can go to class, you can fill your mind, which is great and it's good, because you need to renew your mind to the Word of God. But until you put it to practice, until you start acting on it, till you start doing it, you're not going to see the benefits. Matter of fact, let me read this to you in James, the first chapter, verse 25. They may be freaking out upstairs in our media department, because everything I've just said, all those scriptures I just quoted you, are not in my notes. So, it says this: but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing his life of obedience. So faith comes when we hear, but the blessing comes from the doing, the action that comes with it. So he said this, for then, watch this now. He said, for then, remember this is God speaking, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Now remember, I didn't go back up and read this from the beginning of Joshua, the first chapter. But here's what God told him. The first thing he said out of God's mouth was this: be courageous. Be strong. Don't get into fear. And then he comes down and begins to talk to it. But then God does something else. He says, be strong. He comes back with it, which indicates this: God knows the hearts of men. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart, but God does. What is in my heart is revealed by the way I talk to you, the way I say things. What is in my heart, you will hear coming out of my mouth. Amen? So here's what God says. God comes right back and says, wait a minute. And this is a strong statement to Joshua in the Hebrew. Strong statement, like we would put exclamation points after something. And he says this: be strong and of good courage. Turn to somebody next to you and say, be strong and of good courage. That was so lame. That was so weak. Okay, repent. Listen, how many of y'all believe in do-overs? God does. Okay? God did not say this to Joshua like this: be strong. And Joshua, be of good courage, son. No, he didn't say it. Now you can imagine the lungs that God has. It was, I mean, literally, it would take the makeup off of a lady's face. I mean, God's serious about this. So God is saying, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Ready to try it on three? One, two, three. That's my church. That's the church. That's covenant love right there. He said, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Very interesting word in the Hebrew with dismay. It means don't be distressed by something that happens unexpectedly, suddenly. Don't be distressed by something that happens unexpectedly. Now, we are emotional beings. We live in this flesh that is corrupt, and sometimes our flesh is affected before our spirit man rises up and does something about it. Okay? Nothing wrong with that as long as you don't stay there. So it says, for the Lord, and here's the key, for the Lord your God is with you. I love this. In the new covenant, not only is he with us, he is in us. Glory to God. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So notice that God gives him a promise. And then he tells him, don't be afraid. Be strong and be courageous. So I want to make this announcement to you. All success is found on the other side of fear. Fear is only strong and allowed to remain when you have a lack of spiritual knowledge. Are you listening to me? Let me say that again. Fear is only strong and will be allowed to remain when you or I have a lack of spiritual knowledge. And where is that in Scripture? Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He didn't say my people are destroyed by the devil. He didn't say my people are destroyed by fear. He said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if I have a lack of spiritual knowledge concerning what to do and how to do it, then fear can come in and ransack my life. Now, here's the reason you have adversity in your life. This is the reason the devil comes suddenly. The devil comes, he will attack, he will bring adversity, he will bring all of these dark things in our life. He will do everything he can to bring temptation in our life. He just wants to stop us because he knows we were created in the image of God, and he also knows that with God, I'm going to be an influencer. And I have a testimony, so therefore he's got to stop my testimony. And then when he sees me going to church, he sees me getting in the Word, he sees me growing in the things of God, then he wants to do everything he can to attack and to stop me. So, when you renew your mind to the Word of God, you become a threat to his whole system in this world. You become a threat for people that he has chained and bound and deceived to be plucked out of his hands. And he knows that. So he comes to do everything he can to attack you. So my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, he said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity. But then if you go up to Proverbs 25 and look at verse 5, it talks about a man that increases knowledge increases strength. So the more knowledge I have in renewing my mind to what the Word of God says, the less likely that the devil's going to get a foothold of fear in my life. Fear has defeated more people than any other force in the world. Fear gives birth to unbelief, and unbelief leads to defeat, failure, embraces and accepts the loss of all things. You should never accept the loss of anything that God has blessed you with or given you. Never accept that loss. You continue to pray. You continue to seek God. You continue to get direction and focus on what you need to do. Fear is a powerful spiritual enemy, but it is not more powerful than a spirit-filled Christian who knows God's word and acts upon it. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, then where does the spirit of fear come from? Come on. The kingdom of darkness. It comes from the devil. Spirit of fear is coming from the devil, which is coming to oppose you, coming to stop you, coming to scare you, coming to take your confidence and your courage away. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. What has God given us? Power and love and a sound mind. And by the way, the word power there is not just like a 6-volt battery. The word power there is the word dynamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Glory to God. It is miraculous, supernatural power. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. 1 John 4:4 said it a while ago. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you. A lot of times, instead of looking inward, we're still looking outwardly. Instead of looking internally, we keep looking externally. Yes, what we see is there. It is a reality. The giants are there. The adversity is there. The circumstances are there. But I've got to change my focus. I've got to quit looking out there and start looking in here where God resides on the inside of me. Greater is he who is on the inside of me. So number one, since fear is a spirit, you must confront the spirit of fear with God's word in the name of Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, stay alert. Why does he tell you to stay alert or watch? Because the devil is roaming around planning and scheming. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He didn't say, watch out, your great enemy is on Facebook. He didn't say, your great enemy is sitting next to you in church. Selah. He said, watch out, your great enemy. Come on, folks. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Stay alert, watch out, your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. But the Lion of Judah, listen, the devil is a wannabe lion. Jesus is the lion. And when the spirit of fear comes to roar, you need to allow the Lion of Judah roar out of your mouth. You ain't no scaredy cat. No wimpy dog. That is not who we are. That is not who you are. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you right now. Listen to what he says. He's looking for someone to devour. Run and hide. Find yourself a hole in the ground or a cave. What Bible are y'all reading? See, let me tell you something. I am so glad that you bring the word with you and have it in your heart, because if I said something that is not right or out of context, you need to know and check it out. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Amen? It says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Quit acting like you're the only person that's ever gone through any problem whatsoever. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Quit singing those songs. Quit listening to those songs. In the elevator of my life, I got the shaft. No, you don't need to listen to that stuff. Don't be listening to that. You lost your truck, lost your dog. Why do you want to sing that stuff? It'll drive you to drinking. Take you right back to where you were. Listen to something that is like this morning, like we did in praise and worship. Listen to something that builds you up and lifts you up. Glory to God. Don't be like the Temptations, going back to your old music. I wish it would rain. Blue skies, cloudy days. Listen, you're not the only person that's going through troubles. You're not the only person that's being attacked. You're not the only person. We as the body, when one is attacked, we're all attacked. It's the reason we pray for one another. We lift one another up. Okay? But don't let the enemy isolate you and get you into an emotional basket case of self-pity. Nobody likes me. Nobody. There are people who like you. You just got to find them. If you're trying to find them on Facebook, you're looking in the wrong neighborhood. You need to get in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. See, So if you don't know God's word, and if you, now listen to me, because he said stand firm, right? So if you don't know God's word and you don't take a stand against fear, then the spirit of fear will, number one, steal the word of God that God has spoken to your heart. He will steal your dream. He will rob you of your purpose. He will bring confusion about your identity. He will put in your mind different alternatives to take that are opposite of God's will. He will declare a narrative of defeat and great loss with no chance of restoration and destroy the blessings that God has prepared for you. Fear will even convince you to cope with the issues in your life as if there is no chance of change. Don't you believe the lie? The devil is a liar. Don't you believe those lies? You've got to get into the word so you know who your God is. You know the power of your God. You know the greatness of your God. You know the faithfulness of your God. Oh, Moses, don't lead us into that sea. You see how deep that is? That's the deepest part. We might drown in there. You don't know my God. He can split the Red Sea. He can dry the ground, and he can pull you right on over. We have nothing to eat. Here's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is that among so many people? You don't know your God. But you get into this word, man, you see who God is. You begin confessing this word and speaking this word, reciting this word, just like God's the one that said that, not some word of faith movement. God is the one who said that. God is the one who said, recite my word, Joshua, speak it over and over and over and over again. Why? So you can keep your faith up and keep your hopes up. So, the Bible says in John 10:10, here's greatest humanity, the humanity's greatest thieves. Here's the greatest thief. As fear comes from the devil, John 10:10, the thief comes in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and a joy life and have it in abundance to the full. Listen, divide that up and look at what's going on in your life. If the platform in your life is stealing, killing, and destroying, you know where it's coming from. The devil can operate through people. He can operate through obstacles. He can operate through circumstances. He brings temptations. He brings trials. But if it has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, you know where it's coming from. But if it has to do with life and abundance of life, you know where that's coming from. Let me give you a biblical account in the Bible to show you what happens when people give in to fear and how powerful the spirit of fear is and how it can literally take a destiny and a purpose that God has for somebody and just totally extinguish it. Listen to Numbers, the 13th chapter, verse 31 through 33, and you know this story. It's about the spies, and 10 spies went out. And they came out, and only two of them, two of them come back, and then the rest of them have a bad report. That's what the Bible says. They had a bad report when they came back, spied out the land. God said, you're going to go in and take the land. This is what I'm giving you. You're going to be able to do it. Just like all the promises in the Word of God, God says, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours. Okay? But then problems, trials, adversity, circumstances come up. What do we do with it? Again, listen to what they did. But the men who gone up with them said, we're not able. The 10 spies come back and said this, we're not able. We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, because that's where the giants came from. And listen to this, here's the key. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. Well, not one giant walked up to one of those spies and said, "Oh, grasshopper." Did not say that. Didn't walk up and say, "You little teeny thing, you, how is it down there?" Not one person said that to them. Not one giant lifted a finger to defeat them, because they were already defeated within themselves. Because of the way they saw things from their own perspective and what they focused on instead of what God said. So what happened? The spirit of fear came and it brought an abrupt halt to their purpose and destiny. See, God's word had already been spoken, and with God on their side, they could not be defeated. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got over 3,000 promises in the word of God. Every single word that God says it is yours. He is not a man that he should lie. He does not back up on it, but we have to take the responsibility to act upon it. See, when you're facing anything, you already have the victory in Jesus. You just need to go forth and secure it and carry it out. You start out in victory, if you didn't know that. Started on the cross. And then it ended with the resurrection. Listen what it says. Let me prove it to you by scripture. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. That is the greatest fight that you can ever get into. That means that when you get into a fight, if you know the fight is already rigged and you know you're going to win, but you still have to get out there and fight. You still have to get in there and fight. Okay? If somebody told me, I'm going to put you in the ring with Mike Tyson, most of us would say, "No, I don't think so. I choose to live. I do not choose to die, I choose to live." But if God tells you to get in the ring with Mike Tyson, if God tells you to go fight Goliath, if God tells you, if God says it, if God guarantees it, man. So what happened to them? Spirit of fear. Fear of what they saw erased God's previous victories in Egypt and all that God did for them in the wilderness. Isn't it amazing that fear is like a giant eraser? It will come in and attack you in such a way that you will forget everything that God's already done for you. Listen, if there's just one thing that you don't forget, that when you were in bondage to sin and in bondage to the power of Satan, the moment you said, "Jesus is Lord," it was broken, it was defeated, every chain came off, it was a done deal. Just think about that power. You went from death to life. So fear what they saw erased God's previous victories in Egypt and all that God did with them in the wilderness. The spirit of fear will declare that God has forgotten and abandoned you in this present adversity and crisis. Well, God's abandoned America. God's abandoning us. God's abandoning his church. God's forgotten us. God's not doing anything right now. You know what? Even King David said that. King David, a man after God's own heart. King David, anointed. King David, who had defeated Goliath, got into a situation one time that he literally thought that it was over with. His life was, it was lights out. And he wrote this. "I will say," now listen to how he says it, "I will say to God, my rock." Oh man, he's my rock. He's my God. He's my rock. But then listen to what he says. "Why have you forgotten me?" This is what emotions will do. This is what self-pity will do. This is what depression will do. This is what the strength of adversity will make you think, the things that you're going through. He said, why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He said, man, there's an enemy that's oppressing me right now. As with sword, crushing in my bones, my enemies taunt and reproach me, while they say continually to me, where is your God? Oh, I cannot tell you how many times that I've gone through adversity and circumstances and facing things that were much bigger than I was, and hear the enemy say, hey, where's your God now, big boy? I'll never forget he said this to me one time because I was confessing the Word of God. He said this, where's your God now, big mouth? I said, you think I'm a big mouth now? Just hold on for just a minute. You just stay right here for just a second. I'm going to show you. I'm going to let you hear something out of my big mouth. I actually made the devil stay in my car when he was attacking me one time mentally. I said, sit there and don't you move. And I took praise and worship, and I turned it up so loud that I sounded like one of those cars with a boom, 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 boom. Rolled down my windows, rolled down every window, turned it up as loud as I could, and I got a good sound system. And all I could hear was him, stop it! I said, you can leave now, get out of here. So, listen, the devil will call you all kinds of names, he will attack you, he will do everything. So here's what he says. He says, so the enemy's taunting him. Where is your God? Why hasn't your prayer been answered by now? What's going on? You made this step of faith. And it looks like you made a major mistake because it looks like that everything is against you right now. And if everything was against you, if God is the one who called you and God is doing this, so where is he at? So evidently you've done something wrong. You have just stopped him in his track. You've just stopped God. God, no. And then you know what he do? Then he brings the file cabinet out from past failures and mistakes. What is he trying to do? He's trying to weaken us emotionally. You're not going to get out of this. No way. You're not going to get out of this. What is that? It's a spirit of fear. So what does David do? Here's what God told Joshua to recite. He told him to speak the word. Here's what I love about David, because I do this all the time. All the time I do this. David self-talks. He talks to himself. He doesn't do what we do sometimes and call ourselves, you're so stupid. Why did you do that? You're so dumb. Don't talk to yourself like that. Quit talking to yourself like that. You're feeding yourself with words that God has never spoken over you, never said about you. Man, you can't. Can you do anything right? You just mess up all the time. Okay, well, yes, you're going to continue to mess up because you prophesied. Just call me Mr. Mess Up. Here's what David does. Watch this. Why are you so cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? You know what he's doing? Now he's becoming his own doctor. He's becoming his own doctor. Now he's evaluating the situation. He is now looking at what's happening on the inside of him. And then he says this to himself, hope in God. Come on, self. Come on, self. Get your hopes up. Come on, self. Get out of here. Come on, self, get out of the dumps. Come on, self, get out of this negativity. Come on, self, rise up. Come on, self. He says, hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet pray. praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Notice how he turns it around. If you don't turn it around, you will be turned upside down. When this stuff starts, you've got to combat it. The Bible says that perfect love or mature love casts out fear, because fear has torment. When the spirit of fear attacks you, the spirit of fear will torment you with negativity. You've got to cast it out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, I take the keys of the kingdom. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you right now. I command you, shut up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of fear, I command you in the name of Jesus, be gone, be loose in Jesus' name. I will not put up with you. Go in the name of Jesus. And what do we do a lot of times? We just stay silent. We continue to sink in our depression and in our emotions. We just allow the enemy to cause us to sink instead of speaking, instead of using your mouth, using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You cannot allow the enemy to take you into the pit of despair, which will end in depression, where some people end their life. That is not God. That is the devil. Yes. David said, my hope is going to be in him, and I will wait expectantly. I'm going to persevere. I am going to endure. And the word persevere, endure, in the Hebrew and the Greek, does not mean that somebody is passive, sitting around doing nothing. That word persevere and endure is someone actively moving forward, even in the time of adversity. So many people say, well, God's just left me. Okay, let me read this to you. Let me read this to you out of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5, out of the Amplified Bible. For he, God himself, has said, turn to your neighbor and say, listen to this very intently. Listen to this. Wake yourself up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I think I'm going to just trade these chairs out. They're too soft, too comfortable. Get some hard benches in here. Listen to this. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear nor dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Man, the body of Christ is just, so many in the body of Christ is just totally freaking out with what everything that we see going on. As if God has taken a vacation. As if God is not aware of everything that is going on. God, don't you know what's happening? Don't you know how dark it is down here? Don't you know what's going on? Don't you know what? God, don't you see this? Don't you see that? Don't you see this? This is going to be the greatest comeback you've ever seen. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. I don't know if it is flood right now, but I know it seems that the water is rising up. But when I walk through the water, I will not drown. When I walk through the fire, I will not be burned. I don't know if it's flood stage right now, but get ready, because a banner is coming up. I know we don't like it to flood. Ankle deep, knee deep. I'm talking about Peter sinking when he got out of faith. Up to his waist, all the way up to here. Jesus! All the way up there. I always wondered this. Why did the Lord just stand there and let him sink? Why didn't he just reach out and grab him to start with? You know? Because Jesus is always teaching us to be totally dependent on him 100%. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And right when you think that you're getting ready to take your last breath because the water is right under your nose is when Jesus says, enough is enough. Now come on out of that right now. One thing that I learned concerning 2020 is that it located our faith where we were in faith. It located how comfortable we were without any issues, just strolling along, riding the boat of comfort. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Glory to God. Let's go to church today. Hallelujah. Hello, brother. It can't get no better. Ooh, child. And then 2020. 2020 introduced us to ourselves. It was revealing to us as a church the depth of our faith, and it was revealing to the overall church in America our prayerlessness. Because when you're comfortable and you're cruising, you don't need to pray that much. Everything's good, man. Then you let all hell break loose. Now, here's my question. When that happened, did the prayer meetings increase or decrease? They increased. Zoom prayer meetings. I was listening to our Saturday night Zoom last night. Oh, my gracious. That thing was, Tave and I were both listening to it. It was, I mean, we're in there praying. I was sitting in my chair doing this. I mean, it was powerful, man. It was powerful. We have Zoom and we have live prayer meeting also, but I want to say this to you. Going into the last days, you better learn to pray. Like if you're going to go swimming, you better learn to swim. You better get yourself into God's Word. The Bible is very clear what's coming in these last days. And we have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We must be strong in the Word. And we cannot live by our emotions, and we cannot be affected by what we see going on around us. If nothing else, everything we see, you know what Jesus said? Here's a word for the church today. You know what Jesus told His disciples when they were going to go through one of the toughest times they'd ever gone through in their life? He said this, watch and pray. In other words, what you're seeing out here, don't get depressed by it. Start praying and believe for God to move. He is still God. He's still on the throne. He is Almighty God. So let me finish this. I'm about this far in my notes. So listen to this. So the way they saw themselves inside overrode what God could accomplish through them. You listening to me? The way they saw themselves inside overrode what God had said and could accomplish through them. How you see yourself will dictate your behavior. How you see yourself will determine how far you will go in your God-ordained purpose and how much you will accomplish. So, let me ask you this. How do you see yourself in comparison to how God sees you and what His Word declares about you? Do you even know how God sees you? Because if you look at your past track record, the devil will beat you up and make you think you cannot be used by God. Well, Pastor, you know a bird with a broken wing never flies straight again. That'd be a good song. So, huh? No. But what if God heals the wing? What if God heals the wing? Okay? Don't listen to that mess. So what am I supposed to do? How can I get to the place that I am on fire, I am passionate, I am bold, and I am strong, and I am courageous? And I'm not backing up. I'm not giving in. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not going to be timid, because the word spirit, the spirit of fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear, is also the word timidity. Well, Pastor, you know that's just the way I am. That might be the way you see yourself in the mirror, but that is not the way God sees you. God sees you as a warrior. He sees you as a mighty man and woman of God. He sees you as His son, begotten, adopted. He sees you as His son. The seed of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, lives on the inside of you. Quit going by what you see in the mirror and take this Word out and get into this Word and begin to see what a mighty man and woman of God you are. What kind of warrior and fighter and conqueror that you are. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means emancipation from bondage and free, and it means from bondage, and it means freedom. And all of us with unveiled face, the blinders are off now, because we continue. Everybody say continue. We continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His own very own image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. I'm going to tell you, no cosmetics or no person can do that for you. People can change the outward, but the Word of God changes the inward. And it's through the inward that you act on the outward. Quit believing these lies that the devil is stealing, is propagating into your mind, believing this stuff from your past. And realize who you are. You're a new creature. Bless God, you're either new or you ain't new. The Bible says you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. I am not a failure anymore. Even though I may fail at times, but I am not a failure. I am not an alcoholic anymore. I got delivered and got set free. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go where He tells me to go, and I can do what He tells me to do. I serve a God that there is nothing impossible with Him. It's impossible for Him to lie. You got to get into this mirror right here and look and see. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been redeemed and set free. God lives on the inside of me. go from one degree of glory to another. He says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, one of the other things that is so devastating that the spirit of fear will do to you? Say what, Pastor? That'll be next time. Let me just give you a brief insight. One word. Spirit of fear will expunge your value and your worth and your identity. Spirit of fear. We'll talk about that next time. Don't have time to go into it right now. But the spirit of fear is running rampant. The spirit of fear is spreading a table and a picnic inside the body of Christ, who should be standing up and dealing with the fear. And we should be witnessing and ministering to other people that are in bondage and chained up by fear. I told somebody the other day, I was talking to this young man the other day, and he looked at me and we were carrying on this conversation. He said, "Now, all this stuff that's happening is in the Bible." I said, "The Bible is the only book in the whole world that tells you everything that is not only happening but going to happen." He said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes, absolutely." I said, "But the only way you can understand it is you must be saved. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you." "Oh, so if I go read it right now, I want to..." No, you want to understand it, because there's actually a veil over your eyes. And he said, "What do you mean, a veil?" I said, "There's a darkness and a blindness that the devil puts there." But I said, "The moment that you say, 'Jesus be the Lord of my life,' boom, it comes off. Bam!" I said, "You become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and then you can begin to read." Because I said, "You know, I wrote love letters to my wife, and if you read one of those letters, you would not understand what I'm saying to her, because I know her. You wouldn't understand the language that we used." And I said, "The Bible's a love letter to God's people." And I said, "You can't understand his language and understand what he's saying with your natural mind." I said, "You have to be born again. Be born again." And he said, well, Pastor, he said, I've made some horrible mistakes. I've done, man, my past, I mean, even right now," he said, "it's bad." And I said, "Okay, did you hear what I just said?" And he said, "Well, tell me again." I said, "Okay, you must be, let's get born again." And he went, "How am I going to get born? I've already been born." I said, "No, you haven't been born spiritually." I said, "You must be born again by the Spirit of God. Your spirit be born again." And he said, "Okay." I said, "Is that what you want?" "Yes, sir." "Okay." You see how easy that was? It's not because I'm a pastor. It's just, I'm just talking to this young man. There are going to be some, I will tell you, God's going to be using you in some ways that you wouldn't even be thinking of in these last days. Because everything, you know, the devil is speeding up all of his mess. So if you think that God's going to take a back seat to him, everything's speeding up. Let me give you one example. The other day, when I got home after work, I was going to take power nap. You do that when you get over 70. I'm not taking a nap. I'm taking a power nap. Bless God. It's a power nap. And so I lay down and went to sleep, taking my nap. Then all of a sudden, boom, I wake right up. I was like, "What is this?" I was just saying, "It was so good." But I've come to the place that I know. I said, "Okay, Lord, what am I going to do?" So here's what the Lord put in my heart. go hit some golf balls. I'm like, what? Go hit, I don't want to go hit golf balls. I don't want to go hit golf balls. Go hit some golf balls. Okay. All right. So there's got to be something here that I am not seeing. Okay. All right. Went in, changed clothes, walked into Teva. It's almost time for dinner now. So I'm walking in with great love. And I'm saying, honey, I'm going to go hit some golf balls. I'm just going to go hit a bag of balls. That's all I'm going to do. And she said, okay, go. I said, and so I went. I went in, I got the bag of balls, walked out, put them on the driving range, stood there, started hitting, and got through my bag of balls. And I noticed this pretty big guy that came up on the other side of me. And I could tell he was military. He came up on the other side of me, and I heard him all the time doing like this. Like that. And then he'd stand up and watch me just over there just hitting. And then he... And so when I got finished, I started walking by, and I said, they make it look so easy on television. He said, you got that right. You know, and so... I said, let me see your club. And I looked at his shaft and all that, because he's a big guy. I looked at his shaft and everything, and he had a Project X shaft. And I said, hey, that's a good shaft for you, being that big and everything. And then we started talking. And then he looked at me and he said, I know you from somewhere. He said, who are you? And I said, well, my name is Al Bryce. And I said, I'm a pastor at Covenant Love. He said, I've seen you before. I've seen you on live stream. I said, well, wonderful. That's great. He said, I'm so glad you're here. He said, I have 6 questions that I have been talking to the Lord about, and I do not know how to answer. Do you have time for me to ask you those questions? An hour and 15 minutes later, seriously, an hour and 15 minutes later, I had answered every single question. He's got tears in his eyes, and he's looking at me, and he said, I came here just to hit some golf balls because I'm so perplexed, and now you've answered every single question that I had, and you've answered it through the Word of God. He said, I cannot even thank you enough. And I said, you know what? I did not want to come here and do this. But God had an appointment set up for me to meet with you, to talk to you. If I would have gone by my flesh, I would have never showed up, never done that. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we can get so into our lives that so many times God is saying something to us that's going to help somebody else, and we're so busy and so concerned about our issues and about my life and about me and everything else that I really just don't have time to open my eyes or open my ears to listen when God says, hey, I want you to go here to eat today. I want you to go over to this place today. I want you to go to the grocery store right now. I don't want to go to the grocery store right now. Yeah, I want you to go run right now. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I don't have time to do that because it's all about our agendas. But I'm going to tell you, in these last days, God's going to be speaking some things to us, directing us, showing us where to go and what to do. You know why? Because people's lives are at stake. Things that just don't even make sense to us, God's going to say, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And we go, and all of a sudden, somebody's life is totally changed. Right now, we're at a place that we've got to be where the Bible says in the book of Revelations, Jesus said this over and over again, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. This is the day of direction. It is a day of hearing, and it is a day of acting. And you cannot live in fear. You must address it. You must speak to it. You must take authority over it. And you must move forward, because that's where the action is. That's where the blessing is in doing the Word of God. Can you say amen? Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give you an opportunity, if you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you have not been born again — I'm not talking about growing up in a Christian family or being confirmed in a religion — if you have never been born again by receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life, you may even know about Jesus, you may be even raised in a church like I was raised in a church, but you really don't know Jesus. I was raised in a church, but I did not know Jesus. I had not really confessed Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. My question is, have you done that? Have you done that? If you haven't, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. And you may say, Pastor, I knew the Lord at one time, but I gotten away from Him. I got away from Him. I don't know if He'll have me back. I don't know if I repented, He will forgive me. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says if you repent, He'll forgive you of all your sins. He will. Right now, and you'll start afresh. This is the greatest time in the world. Start afresh with Him. So I'm going to pray, and you say, Pastor, I want to be in that prayer this morning to receive Jesus as the Lord of my life. Or, Pastor, I've been out of the will of God, but I want to repent. I want to get back in the will of God, and I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, all I want you to do is slip up your hand right now if you want to be in that prayer. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want it. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes. Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. That's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I want to be in that prayer. I want to be in that prayer. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I want to be in that prayer. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, sir. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else before we pray? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else before we pray? Getting ready to pray. Anybody else? Okay, all of you that raise your hands, I want you to take both hands and just stick them up to Jesus right now. Just stick them up to Jesus right now. And I want you to pray this with me, and we're all going to pray with you. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for me, and you raised Him from the dead. Today, I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. And today, unashamedly, but with excitement and with joy, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. And I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for forgiving me. And I thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. We welcome you to the family of God. Hallelujah.